hair.
Are you tan?
Aloha.
Are you tan?
Aloha.
No tan lines, huh?
Are you mellow?
Are you gelling? That's a terrible laugh.
I'm not telling how much I'm gelling.
You're certainly not gelling.
They were running those clips right now to Peter Boyle. And I never really watched Everybody Loves Raymond, but I did remember Young Franklin.
Are we on?
Yes.
Yesterday we spent the entire day, because of Gary, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike shall be good. We found out it all meant repentance. But now we're going to leave that unless
you think of running the race. Yeah, you run the race and
run with patience.
Yeah, and you keep moving. I mean, that you don't sit there and stew in your own.
Okay, this next one is important. Billboarding. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Now, this is opposed to, surely my ideas are sweet.
Not the same.
Surely the light is sweet. Let's go to Psalm 19 first. What?
Stop calling me Shirley.
Oh, I went to Proverbs 19. That's not good.
Psalm, which one?
19.
That should be for John Rutledge, to the chief musician.
I didn't hear what he said.
That should be for John, because it says to the chief musician.
Oh. The heavens declare the glory of God, or the heavens express. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or their influence or their preaching is really has gone out through the entire earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, we could spend a year on that. But the law, or the Torah, of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, it says, are they, but notice it's in italics. The better translation in Hebrew is, better is he than gold. And the word, it means it's not even worthy of comparison to gold, to this mystery. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now, remember, we've talked about before, there's a law, the commandment, the statute, the judgments, the fear, all these things. And there's, we're not going to talk about it now, but there's a specific thing that the commandments, the law, the judgments, the fear, but the statutes are the most interesting. And it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, by definition, according to the jillion years of the Hebrew history, anytime it says the word statute, it means that you can't do it. It's impossible. And the idea is, when you understand that statute, then it reveals this hidden mystery that's better than it causes the heart to rejoice. But and we could spend a whole day going through, or more than that, going through each one of those things about the fear, the statutes, the law, but in verse 10, more to be desired is he than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, we got to go. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Where are we going? Deuteronomy 3. Or no, not to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Exodus 3.
I'm sorry, where?
Exodus 3.
Ronnie's probably there already.
What?
Ronnie's probably there already.
Ronnie blew the power out of the whole house. No, in his room and back in my office and in our back bathroom. Maybe it's a cornerstone wiring thing.
It's a spreading leprosy.
I've heard of those.
Another comment like that, and I won't come over there and help.
This is a call of Moses at the burning bush, and you can read the first part of it. In verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. This phrase, to the land flowing with milk and honey, goes on and on and on. It's repeated everywhere. And the people's rebellion is revealed. Because I keep telling them, you haven't brought us to this land that flows with milk and honey. You lied to us. You lied to us about Iraq. No.
Wrong
century.
What
did she say?
Well, you started out by saying this is about the burning bush. You can read about it later. And now she says, wrong bush.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was very funny.
Yeah, but we can't give her too much credit because she'll be insufferable the rest of the day.
She didn't write the line.
Huh?
She didn't write the line. It just ejaculated. That's the right word.
I always consider it sort of like erupting force.
It's the right word.
Can we get back to...
Sure.
Before Sue so rudely interrupted us by her witticism... What is the land that's flowing with milk and honey? What does that mean? Unto a land, a good land, what does it say? A good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And why did they reject it?
Because
Why do we reject it? That wasn't a rhetorical question. I'm asking if anybody knows. A land where the sun is, the light of the sun is sweet. Let's go to Revelation, chapter 11, I think. I would like to be able to tie all this together today, but I probably.
You need to teach from the back end.
Revelation chapter
11.
What chapter?
11.
What's chapter?
No, it's 10. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The little book is Torah. To understand the little book right, it'll be sweet as honey in your mouth. But it'll be that which has guided you your entire life. Your appetites will become, it makes them totally and completely bitter. So that nothing from within your own persona, nothing from your past, no reference to any point in your past, no place at all, when there's total transparency, then the word is sweet as honey. Because if you're eating the word, you're eating his flesh. But it makes the belly bitter, so that nothing again, remember, upon his belly he shall go, the snake, and his lot, his meat shall be dust. What it means, on his belly, by his belly he shall be led. And the only thing that he eats is dust. That's what we have done our entire lives. We have been led by our appetites. And now, eat the book. It'll be sweet in your mouth. And it'll finally turn those, what has guided you before, to bitterness, so that you can never again be deceived. Does that make sense? So the land flowing with milk, by definition, milk is, if you have to have, milk is something that has been digested by somebody else, and then it was given to you as milk. And so it's pre-digested food that is okay for a time, but it's not the, the milk will eventually become, You won't be able to eat it, drink it, whatever. Now, can you? I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm asking you to sense it, so that you no longer are eating the milk of the word. You're eating the honey because you've eaten a little book. You're not in there looking, like we said yesterday. You're not looking in this book to see your name and the manufacturer's handbook and what you should do tomorrow and what you should do about this. You're looking into this book to see the perfect law of liberty, to see him who is more desired than fine gold. And if you're looking into this book for any other purpose than to see him, then you're not eating the book. You're still eating dust, but you're doing it in the name of the book. So the land is always before us. It always has been. It's always right in front. It's where it says a good land, large, in Exodus we just read. It means that it's without boundaries. Wherever your foot touches is the promised land. Why? Because the promised land has come down to meet you. There is no place. There is no situation. There is no more time. There is nothing. The only reason that this word isn't as sweet as honey is because you're still being guided by your belly, by your appetites, by your isolated self, by self-realization. So the land that flows with milk and honey, at first the milk is for the children. It's you pre-digest it to get your curiosity worked up. But the mystery, when you finally look, and wherever you look, you see only him, which the stars are testifying of every day, the circuit, he's coming as a bridegroom out of the chamber, coming for his bride who came down. I mean, the New Jerusalem came down prepared as a bride for her husband. It all comes together. Now, the question is, where are you led by? Do you not yet know that this book and these words will give you indigestion, will make everything that you've been using before to guide you as you might as well be drinking, you know, sulfuric acid. You're not guided by your appetites, your belly, any longer. Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, for they give breath to earthly things. So again, this is location of sphere. If you're on the mercy seat, then everything reveals him. Everything, the revelation is sweet. So, and again, because he is the sun, then, is sweet to the eyes. And that's the only time. I mean, normally, if you look at the sun, you become blinded, which is. But now, the sun is sweet. The light of the sun, the glaring. What does it say? Go back to Ecclesiastes. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Anybody not understand the relationship between the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N, better than gold? Your food is only you. It's milk and honey, but it's milk only for a time. Then you're sustained by the honey of that revelation. It's always the revelation of him.
Something about the milk and honey is like the milk is a pre-digested, but the honey is when you're apprehended, and as you walk, revelation comes.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's why Paul said, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
so that there's, because then it's transformed to the sweetness, the honey of the promised land, which is, as a type, as a parable, it would show this people leaving the, go to Jeremiah 17. If I was really spiritual, I could say the Lord just said to go to Jeremiah 17.
The Lord told me. You might not make it out of the room alive.
What?
I'll let the seed which start throwing with a year of that.
No, the Lord meant, no. Go to Jeremiah 11.
I'm almost there.
The Lord made a mistake. The Lord just changed his mind and said,
meet them.
Where were
they? 17.
11. Jeremiah 11. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace." Ezekiel says, Egypt is on fire. Jeremiah says, Egypt is an iron furnace. Both are talking not just about the type, they're talking about the world, everything in it. Saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto the fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Now every time you say amen, you're saying, so be it. And the implication of the amen is, so be it, no matter what it costs. That's why your silence, if you've been given an opportunity to speak, if you believe Joshua, your silence is a witness against you. If there's something you don't understand, if you say amen, you're saying, so be it. What?
If you like, if you're confused and say amen, then that's what you get. And there ought to be a little fear in that.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like that's succumbing to peer pressure and shame. And
that's just trying to be a man pleaser.
Yeah, staring in the faces of men or women.
Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. It's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations, I mean. Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel at this point had been a priest for 21 years. Highly respected. Not just a priest, but a rabbi, a famous rabbi. But then it says, in chapter 2, it said, it's called, if you have, it's the call of Ezekiel. He saw the wheel within a wheel. Saw everything turning, but everything moving in one direction. It wasn't a helicopter.
I heard it was flying saucers.
It wasn't a flying saucer. It showed, if you check out every aspect of that wheel within the wheel and every one of those figures, it will show you that everything is God's arrangement. Nothing cannot be God's arrangement. And it just, and you see it's all moving as one. But now, in chapter 2, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet. He saw this mystery. And in the last verse of chapter 1, it says, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. Now he didn't fall on his face because someone had laid hands on him and he got slain in the spirit. He fell on his face because he was confronted with the awe and fear of God. Any two-bit hypnotist can cause a bunch of people in the audience to, he can blow on him or raise his hand and they fall down. But now they're doing that kind of crap in the name of God. Oh, the anointing is so strong here. No, it isn't. It's just this play acting. What? All right. God and I were just talking last night. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered me into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. So I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious house, yet shall they know that there have been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them. And whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. It's the same book that was in Revelation. In Ezekiel, it's called a roll, and by the time the New Testament was written, it's called a book. But it's the scroll. It's a flying scroll. It's forever going through the air if you have eyes to see. It's the same scroll. Yeah, that's another story. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now, this didn't happen to him until the world's honey, the world's books, had become bitter to his belly. And then, finally, he was able, and this same thing will happen to you. The moment all of the world's books and all of the world's activities become bitter to your belly, or if you've really eaten the book, then this book will be sweet in thy mouth because it reveals the honey and the honeycomb. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. You're not trying to please anybody. And that never changes. What?
Just an amen. I had an experience a minute ago with talking about the wheel inside the wheel, and it was like it was just words, and I couldn't digest them. I couldn't eat them, and because I already had something there, and it was crap, and making sense, but I just it was like I repented of that, and suddenly I understood that, and it made me see how without repentance you can't go on. You're locked into your mental structures.
Right, because you're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed. It can't be done.
It can't happen.
That's why, I'm going to memorize the scriptures. Well, so what? Yeah. And you're memorizing, and you're a scripture idiot. It just creates hypocrisy of the worst kind. You have to eat the scriptures. That means they have to become one with you. can't happen until you've done everything else, until you've seen the vanity of everything else.
Yeah, it's like the manna. Yeah, yesterday's manna is old and rotten and bitter.
It's worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. And it has no purpose except to deceive you. Anybody have any additions, expansions?
Disagreements?
Yeah, I would. I'd like that.
I know you would. I'm working up to it.
You're working up to it?
The island wisdom?
Island wisdom.
Wisdom of the lays. All righty, take it, big guy.